Good morning, welcome, welcome, or good evening, I should say. Sorry, it's been a long day already. Good evening. Today is March 3rd, 2020, and this is our Board of Trustees regular scheduled meeting. I'm going to ask our Executive Secretary, Beverly Franklin, to call the roll.
Mr. Bell?
Here.
Dr. Kreider?
Here.
Dr. Barazzoni?
Here.
Dr. Jarvis?
Present.
Mr. Grossinger? Mr. Grossinger? President Mason?
Here.
Ms. Roberts?
Here.
Dr. Rudd?
Present.
General Swartz?
Here.
Mr. Scott?
Here.
Mr. Shelton?
Here.
Dr. Tard?
Here.
Mr. Chair, you have a quorum.
Thank you very much. I think we have every trustee here. Yes, this is wonderful. Yeah, and one on the phone, so this is great. Thank you very much. Was that what it was? Okay. We have a rather lengthy agenda, but I actually think we're going to be able to get through these things fairly quickly. The next item up for the agenda is approval of the minutes. We have minutes from two different meetings, November 19th, 2019, and then February 13th, 2020. They're in your packets. And I will entertain a motion to approve.
So moved.
A second.
It has been moved and seconded to approve the minutes both from November 19, 2019 and from February 13, 2020. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Abstentions? Hearing and seeing none. The minutes are approved as presented.
Thank you.
First action items that we have, and this is always a very nice matter, is from Academic and Student Affairs. We have two appointments for Professor Emeritus. Trustee Tard, would you like to start that? Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Sure.
The action items, the committee approved the recommendation to move the nominations of the appointments of Professor Lori Warren and Professor Joseph Tullman as Professors Emeriti for the approval of the board. I can give you a little background about each one of them. Professor Moran has served for more than 23 years at the David A. Clark School of Law in a variety of capacities, including having served as Director of Academic Success, the Academic Dean, the Teaching Clinic, and co-founder of the Service Learning Program. She has served on many faculty committees. In addition, as part of the Service Learning Program, she has accompanied students to different parts of the United States in need of legal assistance, including New Orleans, the Hurricane Katrina, Mississippi in the wake of the BP oil spill, and Texas to assist women and children refugees from Central America. During her tenure at the university, she has touched every part of the law school. I should have, before I talked about Professor Moran, has asked permission to group both of these together so that we can approve them both at the same time. The second one is Professor Joseph B. Tullman as Professor Emerita. Professor Tullman has served for more than 30 years at the David A. Clark School of Law in clinical teaching, where his primary clinical focus was defending children in delinquency matters and representing parents or children in welfare matters. He has been a gifted teacher and a real servant to the regional and national communities. He has been the recipient of awards from the American Bar Association, the D.C. Bar Foundation, the American Association of Law Schools, the D.C. Council for Court Excellence. Professor Tullman has authored or co-authored several books, book chapters, and law review articles. He is a committed scholar. I move that Professor Moran and Professor Tullman be granted Professor Emerita status.
All right, is there a second? Okay, it has been moved and seconded. I'll read the clause for each one, and then we can do our vote. With respect to Professor Lori Moran, therefore be it resolved that the Board of Trustees hereby confers upon Professor Lori Moran the title and position of Professor Emeritus with all the rights, privileges, and responsibilities pertaining thereto. And with respect to Professor Tullman, therefore be it resolved that the Board of Trustees hereby confers upon Professor Joseph B. Tullman the title and position of Professor Emeritus with all the rights, privileges, and responsibilities pertaining thereto. All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Abstentions? Hearing and seeing none. The resolutions pass. Are either one of them here?
They are not.
Okay. 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 Okay, well, congratulations to them nonetheless. Thank you for their service. Thank you. All right. All right, the next item on the agenda is approval of the updated equity imperative strategic plan. Trustee Tarr, would you like to continue?
All right, I will. You will remember that when we started working on the equity imperative strategic plan, we didn't have an academic dean or an academic chief in place. This is the update now Dr. Potter, I was getting ready to say Dr. Lawrence, Dr. Potter is with us. We have recommended that the strategic plan be updated specifically in that area.
Okay.
All right, and therefore, I'm sorry, I need to move a motion. I move that the update of the equity imperative be improved, the strategic plan be approved.
Very good.
Seconded.
It has been seconded, the motion to approve the updated version of the equity imperative strategic plan. Questions, objections, comments? Okay, I'll read the last clause for you. Now, therefore, be it resolved that the board hereby accepts the recommendation of the standing committee and hereby approves and adopts the attached updated equity imperative strategic plan attached here as Appendix A, and further authorizes the president, subject to the appropriation, to take all necessary action to implement the equity imperative strategic plan as approved. All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Abstentions? Hearing or seeing none, the resolution passes. Thank you very much. Very happy to have you here, Dr. Potter, as well, as you know. All right. The next item on the agenda was combined. It was to the Academic and Student Affairs Committee's Operations Committee and Audit, Budget, and Finance Committee. And it involves contract approval. So I'll yield to you, Trustee Tarr. I think that you were going to further yield.
I'm going to further yield to Ms. Russell.
Acting General Counsel.
Acting General. No, General Counsel.
Tonight, General. Tonight.
Good evening, Avis Russell, Acting General Counsel. The agreement between the UDC Faculty Association and the university is before you this evening for your approval. The union has already ratified the agreement. I went through the major changes to the agreement with the three committees. I don't know to what extent, Mr. Chair, you would like me to go through them again.
I don't think we need to do that because I think everyone's had a chance to review and approve. Yeah.
Okay. So, yeah. I'm available to answer any questions if there are any.
Okay. So were you speaking to, I'm sorry, just want to make sure, were you speaking to both matters or were you speaking just to the first one in your remarks?
Right. The D is the eighth master.
Right.
And E is the compensation for non-union continuing full-time faculty,
right,
because they're entitled to the same compensation that's negotiated for the faculty.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So are you moving for both?
A motion to approve. Call for the question.
For both matters. Okay.
Both matters before the House.
It has been moved. Is there a second?
Second.
Okay. It has been moved and seconded to approve both. Sorry about that. That 18-year-old kid of mine.
I don't know how you're going
to. Okay. Talk to your mom. Okay. We will now, it was moved and seconded, and so now I will read the resolutions for the whereas clauses for both of these matters. With respect to the first one, approval of the eighth master agreement between the University of the District of Columbia and the University of the District of Columbia Faculty Association, National Education Association. Now, therefore, be it resolved that the Board of Trustees hereby accepts the recommendation of the President and hereby approves the eighth master agreement between the University of the District of Columbia and the University of the District of Columbia Faculty Association, National Education Association. That's the first one. And then the second one, sorry, got a little out of order. I'm sorry, folks, just a second. Here it is. Fiscal Year 16-22 compensation for non-union continuing full-time faculty excluding the David A. Clark School of Law. Now therefore be it resolved that the Board of Trustees hereby accepts the recommendation of the President that the compensation provisions in Article 18 of the 8th Master Agreement be applied to all eligible continuing full-time non-union faculty excluding the David A. Clark School of Law. All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Abstentions? Hearing and seeing none, both resolutions pass. Thank you very much. I just want to say a little, yeah, I was going to say union leadership. Did you want to, are you here? Want to stand up? Thank you. I just wanted to say, I don't know if you want to say anything else wrong, but thank you very much. I know that there was a lot of work and effort by lots of individuals that went into this to get to this point. So thank you very much for everyone working together to do this, this outcome for the university. We appreciate it. All right. All righty. It's a beautiful thing when the community and the committee structure works and everything is so well reviewed.
Yeah.
And it makes our meetings go very well. So, just wanted to point that out. Okay, the next item is Operations Committee. Trustee Shelton, can I yield the floor to you to discuss these items?
First thing is we'd like to include items F, G, and H as one vote. If we have any questions, we certainly have the people here to answer them, but all the committees have reviewed and have recommended to the board approval of these items, these three items.
I'm sorry, I thought you said four of them, so it's
F, G, and H.
Okay, F, G, and H, okay, sorry.
Other ones.
Okay, gotcha, sorry, just want to make sure I marked them correctly. All right.
And the motion is to approve, and it needs a second.
Is there a second?
Second.
Okay, it's been moved in second.
All right. So it's been moved and seconded. Questions or comments? I'll read the resolutions for these. With respect to approval of the proposed contract for replacement of the roof on building number 28. We have to fix this because it says 38 here.
This is 28 on aisle.
It's supposed to be 38.
It's supposed to be 38. Yeah. Yeah.
Interesting.
It said 38 on the resolution.
On the resolution, it's 38.
That's all that matters.
Yeah, agenda is wrong.
Yes,
the resolution is wrong.
Right.
Yeah. It's like, we got a new building. Okay. Approval of proposed contract number GF-2019-C-0078 for the replacement of the roof on Building 38 by and between City Construction LLC and the Board of Trustees of the University of the District of Columbia contract. Therefore, be it resolved that, subject to the required approval of the Council, the Board of Trustees approves the contract, and each the President and the University's Chief Contracting Officer are authorized to execute the contract in substantially the form attached hereto as Exhibit A. That's item number one. Item number two involves the tennis courts. Approval of proposed contract number GF-2019-C-0046 for the design build of the renovation of the Van Ness tennis courts by and between CADCON Corporation and the Board of Trustees of the University of the District of Columbia contract. Therefore, be it resolved that, subject to the required approval of the Council, the Board of Trustees approves the contract, and each the President and the University Chief Contracting Officer are authorized to execute the contract in substantially the form attached hereto as Exhibit A. That's the second one. And then the third one is the rulemaking for the... Let me just find that one. Okay, do you have that one here?
Here it is.
Here it is. Sorry. Sorry about that. Notice of proposed rulemaking amendments to Chapter 6 to implement a reserve premium fee for facility staff and contractors with university-issued identification and inapplicability of parking rates provided by third-party contractor. For this one. Be it further resolved that the General Counsel is hereby directed to publish this notice of proposed rulemaking in the DC Register as soon as practicable for a comment period of not less than 30 days in accordance with provisions of DC Official Code Sections 2-505A. Okay, thank you. All three of those matters are now eligible for vote. All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Abstentions? Hearing and seeing none, all three resolutions pass. Thank you very much.
Okay, the next items are personnel action, appointment of Avis Russell as general counsel. I'd like to include all three of these together as one vote. Avis Russell is general counsel. Deborah Sullivan is vice president, talent management. Dr. Scott Krawczyk, the associate chief academic officer. I move that all three be accepted. Well, the committee has recommended that all of these be approved.
Is there a second? Okay. The motion has been made and second to review on a consolidated basis all three resolutions. The first one is for Ms. Russell. I've got it. Approval of the executive appointment of Avis M. Russell as general counsel of the University of the District of Columbia. Now, therefore, be it resolved that the Board of Trustees of the University of the District of Columbia approves the executive appointment of Avis Marie Russell as general counsel of the University of the District of Columbia, effective March 1st, 2020. The next one is appointment of Deborah Sullivan as vice president, talent management of the University of the District of Columbia. Now, therefore, be it resolved that the Board of Trustees of the University of the District of Columbia approves the appointment of Ms. Sullivan as Vice President, Talent Management Office of the President, effective January 16, 2020, consistent with the terms and conditions of her appointment letter. And then finally, and I'm sorry for butchering the name, appointment of Dr. Scott Krawczyk? Okay. As Associate Chief Academic Officer, Office of the Chief Academic Officer for the University of the District of Columbia. Now, therefore, be it resolved that the Board of Trustees of the University of the District of Columbia approves the appointment of Dr. Scott Krawczyk as Associate Chief Academic Officer in the Office of Chief Academic Officer, effective March 2nd, 2020, consistent with the terms and conditions of his appointment letter. All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, abstentions, hearing and seeing none, all three resolutions pass. Can those three individuals stand up? General Counsel Russell, Dr. Sullivan, okay, yes. For the record, could you say, Dr. Krawczyk, your name? We want to make sure we're saying it correctly.
Krawczyk.
Yeah. Okay, excellent. All right. We did it. Okay. All right.
Okay, Mr. Chairman, if you may.
Okay. Okay, yes, sure.
Operations Committee is recommended to the board, and the Audit and Budget and Finance Committee also has the approval of the purchase and sale agreement for the property located at 4250 Connecticut Avenue, Northwest Washington, D.C., between BDC Van Ness LLC as seller and the Board of Trustees of the University of the District of Columbia as purchasers. That's the committee has recommended it needs a second.
Second.
It's been moved and seconded, sir.
All right. It has been moved and seconded to approve the purchase and sale agreement for 4250 Connecticut Avenue, Northwest Washington, D.C., between BDC Van Ness LLC as seller and the Board of Trustees of the University of the District of Columbia University as purchaser, the purchase agreement. And go ahead, Trustee
Point Chairman. Of personal privilege.
Yes.
Mr. Chairman, I'd like to thank all the committees who really participated in all these activities, mm-hmm. and it was one of the best working sessions we've had in a long time, where we really got some things accomplished.
Excellent.
And I thank all of the staff and all of the board members who worked on this mm-hmm. to get us through this information sessions and the staff.
Thank you. All right. Yes. We're going to do some more applause to get this approved. So now, therefore, be it resolved that subject to the required approval of the council, the purchase and sale agreement, substantially in the form attached hereto as Appendix A, is hereby approved by the board in accordance with 8B DCMR Section 2100.1, and the president is hereby authorized to enter into a purchase and sale agreement substantially in the form attached hereto as Appendix A on behalf of the board. Be it further resolved that as soon as practicable, the president is hereby directed to transmit the purchase and sale agreement to the council for its approval. All those in favor, please say aye.
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 Opposed, abstentions, hearing and seeing none. This passes.
Yay.
Thank you. This is wonderful, wonderful news. Many of you know that 4250 used to be part of the university, yes. and then the control board separated it from the university, and now it's back home,
yes.
where we think it belongs, and it's part of our plans for the university, and we're very happy to have that property back. I don't know, Ron, mm-hmm. if you want to add anything.
No, not really.
Okay. Well, then I will echo what Trustee Shelton said. Thank you for everyone's input on this. This is very big, tremendous undertaking, and actions like this, you know, takes board work, it takes committee work, university, community, and support from the mayor, the city council. So thank you, everyone, for helping to make this possible.
Yeah,
we appreciate it.
I almost single out Troy and his team. He's stuck with it through a tough negotiation, getting the money moved in the capital budget from year 6 to year 2 wasn't the easiest one. So I want to give kudos and props to Troy and his team, and then to follow up. And then the support work that came out of the Office of the General Counsel. So good job, man.
Good job. All righty. Well, we have dusted off the bulk of the items on the meeting. The next item is a report of the chairperson. Thank you, everyone, for being here. I only wanted to say a few things, and I'll start with the fact that this is going to be Beverly Franklin's last. Where is Beverly?
Hmm.
Okay. Okay, got you. Well, then that means she's going to stay another 3 years.
She's not here.
Well, I'll skip that part then and just go quickly. The only other 2 points that I wanted to mention was the Founders Day celebration was wonderful. The university is doing lots of great things and moving in many great directions, but there was something palpable at that celebration. It just was really very special to see the university community. The speaker was wonderful. The choirs, everything just really flowed, and there was really a sense of magic and optimism in the air. And I just think that that's just such a reflection of everything that your team is doing and that the university is doing. And so I was just very pleased to be a part of that, and to see the mayor get her award as well was just really fantastic. So nice job to the university community for that. And then the other thing that I just wanted to mention, while Beverly's still not in here, is that the campus plan is under review. And there's been a lot of discussion. There's plans and processes and plan about the campus plan. I just wanted to let everyone know that the board is committed to transparency with respect to the plan, and that we want to have a process that works for everyone to give input. And so we're going to make sure that that process happens, and so that everyone is clear about what our intentions are, because this university means a lot of things to a lot of people, both in the immediate community as well as to the city. And we want to make sure that everyone understands that the Board of Trustees is fully behind making sure that everyone is involved in the processes and involved in a way that's meaningful as well. So just wanted to make sure that everyone was clear on that. All right. And then, well, Beverly is not here. When she comes back in, we'll let her know. But this is Beverly's last board meeting, and she's been an exceptional. She serves as the executive secretary of the board, and I think she keeps us all straight. She does so much for the university and for the board, and she just doesn't always get the praise and recognition that she deserves. And I know that on my behalf, and I know Elaine would probably echo in as well from when she was chair, that it's just we rely on Beverly so much. And so I wish she was here to hear us say this. We'll have to repeat it when she comes back in, but she's just a very special part of the university, and she'll be here through the end of March before she leaves. But because this was her last board meeting, I just wanted to single her out to let her know how special she is and how much we love her, and we will miss her. So, all righty. So why don't I yield the floor to you, Ron, then?
Thank you. Sure. Chair, I was able to submit a written report yesterday. I hope you all had a chance to read it. I tried to hit the things that didn't come up in conversations in committee. If you have questions, I'll answer those about what was in the report. Let me pick up from where the chair left off and just single out Dr. Potter. He put his special touch on the Founders Day celebration this year. I think he had real support from John and Leap, maybe, and of course the committee, but those three sort of stick out in my mind, so I want to thank him for that work. In my report, you notice that Tony Summers has submitted his resignation effective April
30th. We're not accepting.
30th.
No, we're not.
He's off to bigger and better things, mostly retirement, I think. But he's done an excellent job at the community college, really moved it forward in a short period of time. We're going to miss his experience, his expertise, and if he hangs around D.C., we'll probably see a little more of him as time goes by anyway. So On the master plan, let me echo what the chair said, but also just remind the board that you remember how we started out with the equity imperative and how intense those conversations were about the process and what should be in it and what shouldn't. But at the end of the day, we got it done, you know, the equity imperative now is synonymous with the University of the District of Columbia. And so, you know, we're just getting started in these planning processes, and I'm sure that at the end of the day we'll all end up in a happy place, in a place that will move the institution forward. The last thing that wasn't in my report, which is a current, is all of the activity around the coronavirus right now. Mm-hmm. The mayor has had a press conference today. I'm not sure what she said, but she has a lot of activity going on. She's sent out notices to the agencies. She has us thinking about contingency plans. Our worst-case scenario, I think, would be how do we get to and through commencement if we have to close down the campus. And that's what we're thinking through now because, you know, this is an odd virus that has a 14-day gestation period, and you can have it without knowing you have it, and everybody you touch could get it. Now, at the end of the day, though, it's really a flu that, you know, for most people will not do much damage, but there is a lot of fear out there now. Mm-hmm. And so we've been thinking those things through. Tomorrow we'll have a meeting at 4 where each unit will sort of give us their piece of, you know, their thoughts on how to keep us going through our commencement in a worst-case scenario. And then we'll get a communication out. But we're coordinating with the district and with their HCMA home security folks and their communications people. So we'll keep you posted on that. The one thing it did sort of raise was the succession plan. You know, if the president goes down and who's next in line and then that next one. So we'll be bringing that to you. We'll probably just tick through the chiefs, you know, and if we all go at the same time, then I guess we end up with Nancy Pelosi running the university. So we're thinking all of these things through, but General Counsel reminded us that if we're going to have a order of succession, it probably is going to have to be approved by the board, so we'll bring that to the next meeting. Okay? That's my report. If there's any questions, I'll answer them.
Question.
Yes, sir.
Do we have hand-washing stations around the university?
We do. Sorry?
And masks.
We don't have masks. Okay. In fact, the health folks say don't buy them because the hospitals need them more than we do, and they're really not that effective from what I've read. But we got a report today that all of the restrooms have been on super clean rotations. All the sanitizers have been filled. We'll have signs up saying, you know, if you feel sick, report it. We have to report any cases that seem to be live cases to the folks downtown. They'll send in the health department. It's a well-coordinated effort.
And because we have so many students who are foreign, how are we tracking that?
Well, we don't actually know about a lot of the travel of the students, to be honest with you. So we're trying to put a system in place now to identify who has been traveling. If it's faculty and staff and it's foreign travel, I have to approve that. But students who have come in, students we're not sure about, I guess is the best way to put it, unless you have more to add. When they come in to begin the academic year, we know that they're here. But if they travel during the year, it's kind of hard to track. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, it's travel within the United States. It's a tough, tough thing to get a handle on. Sure. But we're talking to the consortium. We know what every university is doing. There's advice coming out of every agency in the country. The district is doing it. We're getting advice from everybody, but the White House, candidly.
You don't want that advice.
It's fake news, right? And so we'll be as prepared as possible. But it's an odd sort of thing that could just sort of creep us out of our. You know, out of being open. And so we're preparing for the worst case scenario, which would be having to run the institution without actually being in mm-hmm, the buildings. Mm-hmm. So we'll see.
I have a couple of questions.
Yes,
in your report, the budget hearing is on Thursday.
It's the performance hearing.
Performance. Are you expecting any of us to be there?
Well, we sent out a notice, and anybody that wants to attend can attend. And sometimes board members choose to testify. We have students testifying by design. Basically, you know, me answering
questions
that have been already submitted to us.
I think we were there last year.
Yeah, some of you were there last year. And so if somebody feels a need to, you know, speak, we can give you our talking points. But it's always good to see board members there so we can introduce them as a support. But it's really the students that make the best case. You're talking?
I had to step out due to class. Student
oh, you can't?
First.
You can't do it?
I can't do it
okay.
anymore.
But we have a team
My
coming.
My spirit is there.
The mayor's already heard from you anyway, right?
Absolutely.
but I think we'll be well prepared, and, you know, this is the first cut at that whole process publicly before the council.
Did they say what time?
10 o'clock on Thursday.
Yeah. My second question is your UDC town hall in Ward 4. Do you have a date for that yet? That's my ward.
Yeah, do we have a date for that?
And Charlene's and yours. A date?
We had a date. We had to reschedule.
Thank you.
Okay. Okay.
Let's all know, please.
Yes, we will.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we're in Ward 4.
Yeah,
like
Ward 4. Yeah, we need to know.
That's the ward.
Yeah.
Yes, ma'am. Any other questions?
Yes.
Yes.
Oh, you saw me? Thank you. My question was in regards to the ride that you were able to take with the mayor, and how did that conversation go? Was she receptive?
Well, I think the last sentence kind of said it all. What's the last sentence?
No commitment.
Right. yeah, it was a good conversation, but it was it would have been really too optimistic to expect a commitment at that stage of the mm-hmm. process. You know, we hadn't even started the budget conversations yet. But we got our points in. We gave her the budget presentation. I think that anytime you get a chance to make your case to the people making the decisions, you take the opportunity.
Mm-hmm.
And so I got an hour.
Absolutely. That's a long time.
Yeah.
All right.
Trustee Bennett's on.
A compliment and a question. I think by all reports, and I was so sorry I couldn't be there, the Founders Day was just magical. Mm-hmm. But the press follow-up was wonderful.
Yes.
And I think that terrific press out there, obviously, Ron, you communicated the message well, and it was quite a few people mentioned to me that they had seen it and how terrific it was. And in that light, I want to mention something. Ron and I attended last night the Rao Professorship, and Dean Hutchins and her group did an absolutely wonderful evening, and it left me as a trustee longing for an opportunity as a board. And I know often our meetings go on quite long, but maybe this wonderful new efficiency in matters of weight and committee work would permit us to do something such as perhaps an academic spotlight each meeting, just 10 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
Tell us, let the leadership speak about what is going on in a school, what the achievements are. I just think that the value is huge, and our exposure is hit and miss sometimes by mm-hmm. what, at least mine is, mm-hmm. by what I'm able to attend or not. And that was, without a doubt, one of the most stimulating events I've attended in D.C. in the last 4 years that I've lived here. It was a most wonderful evening. Would have made everyone here very, very proud of the school. So I'd like to hear more from the academic side of the house, and we do hear from all of the operational ones. We just don't hear in any depth what the plans of the units are. So,
good idea, and I would include student achievements in there as well.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Sure.
As part of the academic units.
Well, yeah, they sort of go hand in hand.
Hand in hand, right? Yeah, good idea. Yeah, last night was a good night. I will mention IPPH has. Was it Thursday? The mayor Thursday. And David Rubenstein.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
A conversation.
On Thursday?
Yeah. Thursday, yeah. That should be pretty good, too.
I did see that. That's right. What time is that again?
That's usually at 7.
Generally.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you should have gotten a notice, though, in the
I probably did.
Yeah, Beverly. Search for Beverly Franklin, and you'll see it.
All right.
Okay.
Was that it for you, Trustee Barzola?
Oh, yes, thank you.
Gotcha.
Trustee Shelton? I read your statement about the alumni election process, mm-hmm. and Mr. Scott, what is the status of the student elections? How is that? What plan do we have in place for that?
Student elections for the board?
Yes, for the board. It's due as they were all usually together. Now they're being separated out, so I wanted to know what the student election process was going to be like.
William Latham, Chief Student Development Officer. You're saying, Trustee, that the student election is being separated out?
Well, it's due in May. Both mm-hmm. elections were due to be completed for the May 6th, the May election. And the alumni situation is not going to be, I don't know where it is, so I don't know what it's going to be. But I haven't heard anything about the student election process.
Oh, yes. Well, the student election process will take place next month, as it generally does. They have a campaign process that kicks off in March. Get more information about that process. I'll get the exact dates to you, mm-hmm. and you can have that within the next day or so. So I know it's been set, and it usually runs through that process of VoteNet. They come on campus and have that VoteNet process take place where they go in and actually do that voting electronically. But the rest of the campaign process is true to form. It's going to be what it was in terms of process as it was last year.
Just hadn't heard anything, so I was just asking a question.
Yes. Okay.
I think we have someone who's running for student representative to the Board of Trustees in the audience. Is he here tonight? Yes. That's our student, possibly our next student rep to the Board of Trustees. Okay. So students are applying. The application ends on March 10th. Mm-hmm. And then following verification that they can run, then the process isn't over until May. Mm-hmm. But it is going on.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Great.
Students are interested.
I didn't hear anything. That's all.
Okay.
Thank you.
Do you want something on the alumni piece?
Sure.
So the alumni elections were supposed to be taking place about now. We went back and reviewed what happened the last election, and there were some confusion, questions around the outcome at the end of the day. And so we decided to take a good look at what happened to try to make sure it didn't repeat itself. And then the director of alumni affairs left, and that set us back a little bit. And then the third issue was there is a vendor that actually helps facilitate the process. Getting that work out of procurement has been a challenge for a few reasons, but we've worked through all of that. We're going to be sending out a revised timeline for the election because when we looked at the DCMR, the recommended date is the May date, but it's something that we can really extend a tad. Mm-hmm. And so we're thinking now by the September meeting, we'll be able to have all of that completed and the new members seated.
Thank you.
But we'll send out a memo, explaining all of that. Okay.
Question.
Yes, sir.
Trustee.
Yes, I just wanted you to talk about, because I'm surprised my colleague Jerome Shelton didn't say anything about it, but it's stated here that you had breakfast with our newest Hall of Famer, Amadou Gallo Fall,
mm-hmm.
who is the president of the NBA Africa.
Mm-hmm.
Just tell us a little bit about your experience there and if you made a commitment to make some financial.
No commitments.
Okay.
Well, Ronnie Trapp set it up. I'll start off by saying he's a very tall young man, about 6'8". UDC grad, typical sort of story, you know. He came here because he was recruited, and then when he got here, it was really UDC that changed his trajectory in life. Got his degree. He was a Dean's List, no, magna cum laude. He graduated magna cum laude with a 4.0 average. Sort of worked his way up through the NBA ranks, and now he is president of the Africa League of the National Basketball Association, which is going to be one of these sort of farm leagues for the NBA. And if you look at all of the players from Africa that are developing out of that area, yeah. you can see that he really does have a key position. Now, it wasn't clear to me that he's at the high income level yet within that organization,
mm-hmm.
But he sure knows a lot of high income guys from Africa. And so one of the things we talked about was going to visit his operation. His real passion is a not-for-profit that he started that's based in Senegal. Is that right? And so he wants to partner with us on that. I told him I'd try to come make a visit over there and see what it's all about. And while there, he said he, you know, I'm not looking forward to traipsing all around Africa because it's a big continent, but he'd take me to some of the league operations. So, you know, we'll see how this relationship sort of grows over time.
His former boss was with Dallas Mavericks.
Right, exactly.
Mm-hmm. He's got money.
That's where he started with the Mavericks, and he's close to Nelson. So, mm-hmm. you know, he's a relationship with the NBA, and we'll see if we can mine it slowly but surely. Yes, but a good guy.
Thank everyone for that. It was a very nice activity, well attended. We had a great representation. Again, it made some money, but nobody has told me how much yet. So as soon as I find out how much we missed or made, I'll let you know. But it's been going on for about 9 years now. My colleague here is a member of the Hall of Fame. That's why he's most proud of it. They won't let me in. You had to be a good athlete. The thing of it is that it is working. It is getting better and bigger. And it was a sellout. Mm-hmm. You missed a wonderful night. And a lot of his African NBA friends were there. So we had a very tall club in the building. And they're helping each other build the league in Africa. Mm-hmm. And this program is going to be on ESPN. Excerpts from his receiving the award will be on ESPN, I've been told. And he was very honored. It took us a year to get him here. Mm. So it was worth it.
Okay. Any other questions or comments for the President's report?
Just one other thing. Okay. Just would be remiss to not talk about the exhibit that was after the Founders Day. I believe that was so outstanding, and all the alumni that I spoke with said that was the best afterglow that they've ever been to in this campus, and they just loved it. They ran out telling everybody about it. So you should see more alumni coming to the campus to look at that as well.
Excellent.
I was telling him to hold on while you speak.
Yeah. We're just in Heritage Hall.
Microphone.
Heritage Hall, which is the large open first floor of the Student Center. The Smithsonian exhibit on what I guess is the years that changed the district.
12 years
that shaped the district. They have a replica of their display on the walls of Heritage Hall. Mm-hmm. And so it goes from 76 to
63 to 75,
which takes you right up to the right before home rule. Mm-hmm. And it really is, it's just interesting to go look at, so I recommend it to you. But also what I find amazing is that this is a high activity area for the students, and the students mm-hmm. seem to be respecting it for what it is, because the walls are staying clean and unmarred, and you know, it looks like a museum quality exhibit. Yeah, so thank them for that.
Is that on loan, or is that permanent loan, or
this? No, it's 2 years. Yes, yeah, 2 years. Yeah, because I think it's also at the Anacostia Museum in Southeast. Yeah. Okay.
I just wanted to make a comment, and that is that while Dr. Berzon mentioned the article that was in the newspaper, there are two things that I want to compliment us on, and one has to do with the marketing campaign. It has been outstanding. And then the
louder.
Other. Oh, I'm sorry. It's on. Okay, I got to talk into it. Is that what it is? I just wanted to compliment the marketing campaign that we have undertaken as an institution and how successful it appears to have been. It's outstanding. And then the only other thing, let me do the last part of it, and that is the Good Day Washington that both you and Dr. Potter have done.
And Troy.
And Troy. I miss Troy's. I'm sorry. And Troy. See, but if I had known it was you, I'd perhaps have clicked it off. But yeah, I just wanted to compliment you all on all of that.
Thank you. It has been going well. It's technically not a marketing campaign. It is a get-to-know UDC campaign.
Yes.
Just for the record.
Good term.
And we have enough money to get it through May, so we'll see what happens after that. On the great day, that has been going well, and if you notice, we've been showing relationships in the district, business relationships. We're doing the last two Monday. In the morning, we have Don Graham, of all people, who is excited to come in and talk about the progress we've made, and then we're going to close with the chair, and we'll be featuring students in the last section. So it's going to be a nice little wrap-up. And Tanika is the most of the brains behind it, so we give her that. Tanya, I'm sorry. Tanika's the other brains on something else. But Tanya is most of the brains behind it, and she's put together a nice piece of work. So thank you.
All right, any other questions or comments for the President's report? All right, we will continue going through the agenda then. The last items are committee reports. Executive Committee, I didn't have anything really to add other than Trustee Shelton is our treasurer now on the Executive Committee. He takes over the Audit Budget Finance Committee as chair, and in that role he also serves as Executive Committee Treasurer. I want to thank Dr. Charlene Drew Jarvis for her excellent work that she did as chair of ABF and for her membership on the Executive Committee as well. Committee of the Whole, there's nothing to report there. The next meeting, or the next committee, is Academic and Student Affairs. Dr. Tard.
Okay. There we go. Moving right along. I want to distribute to you, I'm sorry, I keep leaning away from this microphone. I want to distribute to you the academic accolades. After our your report that appeared in the newspaper, there were all kinds of comments, and there were things that people just don't know about this institution. And so I want to share with you something that Dr. Potter distributed to the committee. But let me just read a few of these. UDC receives compliance approval for initial accreditation for the Associates in Nursing Program. UDC received accreditation from the Council for the Accreditation of Higher Education Preparation. We are top 10 for Moon to Mars Challenge. We are UDC top's list of HBCUs for graduate fellows at Columbia University. NASA awards UDC $3 million for advanced manufacturing research. UDC awarded $4.85 million for nanotechnology by NSF. UDC awarded $6.8 million NIST cooperative agreement. I don't know what that is.
National Institute of Standards and Technology.
There we go. UDC awarded $2.8 million and selected to lead the University Research Consortium by DOE, National Nuclear Security Administration, and this is just to let you know, and we've got to get this out to the community to let them know all of the good stuff that happens here at University of the District of Columbia. We have been identified as the best value in the nation's capital for earning an MA in counseling. We're number one in the 50 best affordable business schools. We did that in 2019. UDC Law, number two in the nation for public interest in government job placement program. Number seven best affordable engineering school in 2019. Best affordable, number one, best affordable mechanical engineering degree program. The number one community college in the district, Maryland and Virginia area. The least expensive university in DMV, and number six clinical law program in the nation. We are doing really, really good stuff. And you all need to be commended.
Do you
And the safest university.
We need to get this out to more than just the board.
Right.
Two questions,
yes,
if I
ma'am.
Could, please. A bannering campaign would seem to be in order, a street front bannering campaign for some of these.
It really would be.
People
yeah.
drive by yeah. and people notice those things.
Yes, they do.
Think about the AU buses and so on.
Mm-hmm.
So that would be great if we could find the money for it. But another question is, as we all worry about the match for fundraising, I understand that council is trying to perhaps stimulate individual gifts, but maybe that's because they were pessimistic that these kind of grants would ever come in. Wouldn't it be a possibility at least of trying to persuade them that these other grants should count toward it in some way?
You're not going to ask, but this is the chairman, and his goal is to get private fundraising.
Understood, yeah. But he may not know about these things. And. I'll come with him. I'll help twist his arm.
At the very least, I think you raise a point. This is a solid return on investment.
Yes.
It's absolutely a solid return on investment. And so to the extent that we talk about increasing funding and providing more money to make us commensurate with our peers in terms of the funding that they get from the public sources, this is the proof in the pudding that that making investment reaps dividends across the board. Yeah. So, Trustee Roberts. Sorry.
Excuse me. I also wanted to highlight the stimulating conversations that are happening around academia that's not included in our classrooms. The National Society of Black Engineers had Dr. April Erickson Jackson, who's an aerospace engineer at NASA, groundbreaker, just coming and giving it a three-hour presentation to our students in the law school. So a lot of student-led organizations are doing a lot of education on campus as well. So what we're not doing in the classroom, we're building outside of the classroom.
Sure. Thank you for that. Great. Anyone else have a comment on Dr. Todd's report? Okay. Alumni Task Force.
Trustee Shelton. Very quickly asked and answered. I'd also like to let everyone know that Audit, Budget, Finance, and Operations Committees will be meeting at the same time in the future. So we should have a good crowd and be able to have a quorum for each committee. So you only have to meet once to cover the items.
Okay.
And those are the important things that we have.
Okay. All right. Thank you very much. Communication Task Force, Ms. Roberts.
Yes. So I worked on creating flyers for the Board of Trustees meetings, which were really effective. One of our digital media students, Taiwan, also created personalized flyers that came like from me. The student representative is inviting you to these meetings. Still working with the journalism team to create the Forever Spotlight. However, I would like to highlight how our university is doing an amazing job at highlighting students outside of that, but creating something that is student-led. In addition, I made the suggestion to our webmasters to live stream our Board of Trustees meetings, the meetings as well as the committee meetings, because we know that the girth of conversations happen in committee meetings. So a lot of students are either in class and can't attend, so that would be available for them to see afterwards. Also, yes, shaping commitments to the next Board of Trustees representative to really build out what a communication task force look like legitimate people being a part of this task force. And also I wanted to shout out our student leaders this year, extremely visible, extremely prominent in getting words out about certain things on the university campus.
All right, thank you. Trustee Shelton, did you want to
ask
something
I missed? We have to, as a board, approve the audit, receive the audit. We have to accept it. And a motion to approve the audit as reported.
Mm-hmm.
Any discussion? I'm sorry. That's
yeah.
They're just an audit report.
That's okay. No, that's fine. So it's been moved and seconded. Is there a resolution to read, though, or anything?
There's no resolution. The board just has to accept it.
Okay. So then it's been moved and seconded to move to approve the audit report, audit budget report.
Troy?
This was the report that was discussed at the audit budget.
Yes, yes, it was discussed.
So it just wasn't put on the.
It just wasn't.
Troy Lemester, Chief Operating Officer.
Okay. Hold on a second, Troy.
Sure.
I think we need to make a motion to amend the agenda to approve the audit budget finance report as an item on the agenda so that we can then talk about it. Trustees, Chair, I'll entertain a motion.
So moved, Mr. Chair.
Is there a second? It's been moved and seconded to add the approval of the audit budget finance report to the agenda. All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, abstentions, hearing and seeing none. The item is now on the agenda, and now discussion from our CFO, Troy Stovall, is appropriate on the audit budget finance report approval.
Yes, as Chairman Shelton pointed out, the audit was discussed with the CFO at the audit budget and finance, and just, again, because it's part of the district's audit, it's not approved by you, but it's accepted by the board as being received and that you've seen it and reviewed it.
Okay. So I'm sorry, that we've accepted it or that we've approved it?
Accepted.
Accepted.
Yes, sir.
So therefore, okay, so then the chair will entertain a motion to accept, a recommendation to accept the audit budget report that was presented at the audit budget finance.
So moved, Mr. Chairman.
Second.
It has been moved and seconded that the board accept the audit budget report. All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Abstentions, hearing and seeing none, the board hereby accepts the report for the audit budget.
My apologies to the board.
Sure.
It was important.
All right. Thank you very much for
Thank
that.
Thank you, Troy.
I think that we only have just a few more committee reports to go over. Community College, Dr. Tarr, did you want to?
Just a second. If I could go back, there's one thing that I failed to mention in the other report, and that was what's going on in student affairs. So I apologize for doing that. And I think the thing that I simply wanted to point out that student affairs is really becoming more focused on the collection of data and more focused on getting student opinions about various things. They've surveyed students. They surveyed to find out what the academic support needs of students were, the additional support needs that's non-academic things occurring outside of the classroom, the need for co-curricular experiences and how they felt about it, expected obstacles to academic success, basic needs and insecurities, and just general demographics. All of this is a part of the program that student development is building to address the needs of our students. And I failed to mention that, and I apologize. Okay, now, community college. Okay, I guess it's back to me. What we learned is that FedEx donated a 5,000-pound airline engine to the aviation technology program. Dr. Summers is far more knowledgeable than I am about this, but this engine is 12 feet long, and it has a diameter of 4 feet, and it is capable of producing 22,000 pounds of thrust. So, Dr. Summers, if you could help to clarify all of them.
UDC on the mall?
Tony Summers, Chief Community College Officer. Thanks to the tireless efforts of the aviation program and its director, Mr. William Russo, he applied and received a donation from FedEx of an engine, as you've heard the details. This is a part of FedEx's commitment to women in aviation in terms of their program. And the engine will be an excellent addition to our program and our students and serve as a laboratory for repair. Something that we currently do not have at the level that this engine totally exists. So we are extremely thankful and hope to continue to build a relationship with FedEx to continue its support.
Excellent. Okay. That was the big prize.
That was good.
Yeah.
All right.
Thank you.
Thank you. And Dr. Summers, thank you as well. Ron alluded to it, but we're just very grateful for your service to the university. We appreciate it.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
We had the GED graduation on Saturday. It was well supported by the faculty. Thank you everyone. We should get some recruits. I think we got a lot of forms filled out, and that the GED testing program is enjoying this working relationship with the university. And thank you for your support.
All right. Mr. Chair?
Yes, sir.
I just want to also remind the board and anyone who would like to participate, because the matching campaign is coming up this month. And one of the things we started 2 years ago is recognizing the achievers of the campus for every graduating class. So the class of 2020 will be graduating soon, and we'd like to also do what we've done in the past with regards to recognizing the 10 top academic students on the campus, one from each department, including the community college. And so you'll be getting some information that will be coming to you very soon, and we'd like for you to make that contribution so we can meet our obligation. And I just want to thank everybody who in the past who've contributed, those who had the opportunity to come when the students receive their papers on the ground and have their families there, have seen the enjoyment that comes from that activity. So I just encourage you to make a contribution, and let's continue to recognize the top and the brightest at the University of District of Columbia. Okay. Thank you.
Sure. Trustee Roberts.
Yes, I wanted to also add a Firebird Awards. I don't know if Dr. Latham wanted to speak more about it, but the Office of Student Life and Student Services are highlighting students outside of academia, right, that are doing groundbreaking work on campus and in their respective communities. So there's things such as Emerging Leader Award, Senior Award, Graduate Student Center of Diversity and Multicultural Affairs, Transformative Leadership Award, Residence Life Award. So a lot of different awards that doesn't just focus on academia and highlighting students' strength, if that not be that.
Yeah, excellent. All right, thank you. All righty. A few matters I wanted to just go back to. Beverly Franklin, you stepped out of the room when we were singing your praises. We let everyone know that this is your last meeting as Executive Secretary to the Board.
Last board meeting.
She thinks she's leaving. She's not. We just want, on behalf of the Board, I wanted to say thank you for all that you've done for us and that you continue to do. We're so appreciative of how you've kept us moving and together. And just thank you for everything that you've done. You're going to be missed, and I just wanted to say that to you. Two more items that I had. I think this is Trustee Roberts' last meeting as well, right? No. Actually, we have a meeting in April, right?
April, yeah.
So I'm going to hold off on that. Just wanted to make sure that we were acknowledging people that wouldn't be around, but you'll be here for our April meeting as well. Okay, so disregard what I was going to say there. We're going to go into executive session for a few moments after the end of this meeting, and I'd like to, have a motion from the board to do so.
So moved, Mr. Chair.
Okay, it has been moved and seconded to go into an executive session. We're going to do a roll call vote to enter into the session.
Mr. Bell?
Yes.
Dr. Kreider?
Yes.
Dr. Barazzoni?
Yes.
Dr. Jarvis?
Yes.
Mr. Grossinger?
Mr. Grossinger, are you still on the line? Trustee Grossinger? Yes.
Ms. Roberts?
Yes.
Dr. Rudd?
Yes.
General Schwartz?
Yes.
Mr. Scott?
Yes.
Mr. Shelton?
Yes.
Dr. Tard?
Yes.
And President Mason?
Yes.
All right. I now need to read this. In accordance with DC Code Section 2-5705B, 234A, and 52005, the Board of Trustees hereby gives notice that it may conduct an executive session for the purpose of discussing, establishing, or instructing the public body, staff, or negotiating agents concerning the position to be taken in negotiating the price and other material terms of a contract
including an employment contract if an open meeting would adversely affect the bargaining position or negotiating strategy of the public body, discussing, establishing, or instructing the public body's staff or negotiating agents concerning the positions to be taken in negotiating incentives relating to the location or expansion of industries or other business or business activities in the district, consulting with an attorney to obtain legal advice and to preserve the attorney-client privilege between an attorney and a public body, or to approve settlement agreements, provided that upon request the public body may decide to waive the privilege and planning, discussing, or conducting specific collective bargaining negotiations. Okay. That has been read. I know it was riveting. We will not come back after the executive session, so we can dispense with that formality now. There's no additional new business, so I think with this... Oh, yes.
Can somebody speak on this one?
Oh, yes. This book, Sustainable Innovation, that was given to us. I'm not sure who gave that to us.
Very nice. Business.
Okay, yes.
Lawrence Potter, Chief Academic Officer. What you see in front of you in the books is that faculty from the School of Business and Public Administration are editors of the collection. It's a series that has been brought to the university, okay. And so over the next year or two, we will be responsible for leading the series on business and sustainable development, and that is the first publication, and three of our faculty are represented in it.
Excellent. Thank you very much.
Thank you
for this. Appreciate
the subtitle, yes. Happy Friends and the Unhappy Friends.
And Trustee Jarvis, thank you for pointing this out. I appreciate it. Okay, with that, we are prepared to adjourn. Chair will entertain a non-debatable motion to adjourn.
So moved.
Okay, it has been moved and seconded. We are hereby adjourned. Thank you very much.